Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. And today is Monday, February 16th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There is a Solution on page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of necessity, there will have to be discussion. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, and how we may meet their needs. Today's readers are Michelle M., the 12 Steps, Patsy M., the 12 Traditions, and our big book readers are Penny C. in the text, Penny E. on page 164, and Susan S.H. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Deb A., and our second hour moderator is Tony B. The share ID for Sunday, February 15th, 2026, is 23,212. That's 23,212. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Michelle M. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Michelle M., recovered in Arizona. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle. I will now ask Patsy M. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Rick, and good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Patsy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of necessity, there will have to be discussion. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, and how we may meet their needs. I will now ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. Of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that these matters are, from their very nature, controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. Most of us sense that real tolerance of others' shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions and our attitudes, which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. Wow, there are three, as I see it, three main points here. They tried to make sure that they wrote a book that would contain, you know, nothing in it that would lead to controversy or contention. I think the main thing that I hear so often, the God of our understanding. So when they say that, you know, they have to discuss religion, that phrase, the God of our understanding, helps 12-step programs all over the world, no matter what people call their God or their higher power. And then the second, respect for their opinions and attitudes, or our attitudes. When I came to OA, knowing nothing about 12 steps, I never even heard the term, I was so closed-minded, and having lived these steps for many, many years, I find that I become open to whatever anybody else's religion or attitudes. We all have a right to our own opinions and our own leanings. And then the third, which I think is probably the most important, well, it's the most important to me, that our very lives depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. So I know that my day is going to go well when my first thought upon awakening is to say good morning to my higher power and then to ask, please show me who I can help today. Because that's really what makes me happy. That's the road to happiness is helping others. So I'm going to pass with that. And I love this paragraph.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Penny. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Melissa.
Lisa
Nancy
B.
R.
Melissa.
Nancy R. New York.
Nancy R.
Karen K. Mississippi.
Karen. Okay. Who else?
Deb Z, Illinois.
Deb Z. I've got Lisa B, Melissa C, Nancy R, Karen K, Deb Z. Who else would like to share? Okay. We'll go with this group of names and get some more. Lisa. Oh, Tony, got you, Tony.
Good morning, Rick.
So, Lisa B, you are up first, followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Rick. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you, Penny C., for your lead. This is such a powerful reading, and what I see is that the writers, Bill and the Big Book writers, they're explaining their intention and tone to me, and, you know, I see that this program, my experience teaches me that this program, it touches everything, my body, my mind, my relationships and spirituality, and that these areas are controversial, and that I do know that people often disagree strongly in these categories. But what I'm learning with this program through the posture to take through these steps is that I can't avoid these topics, but I don't want to fight about them, you know, and that nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention. So, I don't argue. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to win debates. I'm here to share what worked. And I just love that posture of service. It's not about superiority. And then I love that it says real tolerance. And this is the heart of it for me. It isn't about agreeing, approving, or being passive. It's about allowing others to think differently, not trying to control, not trying to convert, and not reacting from my ego. And it's not about surface politeness. It's an internal freedom from needing others to agree with me. And then when it talks about ex-problem drinkers, my very life depends upon my constant thought of others. Self-centeredness is what kills me. It's the root of my problem, the self-absorption. And that recovery through the steps, it requires a reversal, that personality change. I live by thinking of others, not in a codependent way, not in a martyr way, but in a service-oriented way, being useful. So I'm seeing with this reading, and as I keep deepening in this work, it's a shift from debate, being right, convincing, to tolerance, respect, usefulness, and service. I can't do any of this without a personality change, without a spiritual awakening. And, you know, when I came here to A Vision for You and OA, I did have the gift of desperation. I didn't always have it, but when I landed at the doorstep of a Vision for You, this OA meeting, I did have the gift of desperation. And oftentimes when I'm talking with people, they may not have that gift of desperation, but I have to see that either the disease isn't finished working with them or their higher power isn't finished working with them. It can sometimes almost appear like a spectrum disorder. You know, we're all in different places of where we are and how badly we need it. I was desperately ready to have this transformation. So I just wanted to say I'm so grateful to be here, and self-centeredness does nearly kill me, and I need to be in this program. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Melissa C., you are next, followed by Nancy R. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, when I read this, I get that that there are some ideals that are being laid out for me here as, you know, as an ex-problem eater, that I want to be helpful, I want to be useful, but I can't be contentious and argumentative. So it's like I have to be honest with people, have to be able to try to, you know, explain things in recovery and program that are going to help others. But I can't do it from a contentious and argumentative angle. And, you know, and so I can't be speaking all the time. And, you know, and I sort of find this everywhere I go. I can take this and apply it everywhere. To when I speak, that I have to be careful that I'm not just speaking to prove I'm right or to prove I'm smart. And that's been like, you know, I think as the youngest of five kids, that was sort of always my angle. But in recovery here, it's I want to be helpful. I want to be useful. And that this idea about real tolerance for other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respecting their opinions. And, you know, what I've come to learn about tolerance is very different from what I used to think it was. It's not that I have to somehow stomach, you know, it's like, ugh, I have to listen to their opinion and their viewpoint and deal with their shortcomings. And, you know, but actually true tolerance means that I am okay with being uncomfortable by others being different and seeing things different from me. And, you know, my tolerance is not so much that I have to tolerate other people, but it's that I have to have a thicker skin. I have to feel less sensitive and less worked up when everybody doesn't see things the way I do, when everybody doesn't do things the way that I do. And that my purpose for having a thicker skin is that my life is going to depend on thinking about others and helping to meet their needs. So, like, other people's needs have to be my primary kind of guiding force and focus. That, and I can't do that if I'm uncomfortable in the presence of people who are thinking and doing things differently. How am I going to help somebody if I walk around, you know, that feeling triggered all the time? So when people talk about that triggered kind of feeling, that's our own internal work. And that's always, you know, work in progress for me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Melissa C. from New York. Nancy R., you are up next, followed by Karen K. Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. I am now unmuted. Nancy R., compulsive overeater, recovered in New York for today. Beautiful shares. Very beautiful. Thank you, Rick, Penny, and all the shares before me that I keep learning from. Lovely to follow Melissa, whose recovery I love and as well as all. But in my, let's see, I have different things crossed out. For example, it's a beautiful promise I have written down of the last sentence, our very lives that last sentence and the word our, I have crossed out to put in the word my very life as ex-problem eater or drinker, depend upon my instead of our, my, I have constant thought of others and how I instead of we may help meet their needs. Through studying the big book with different beloved mentors and sponsors, I think perhaps it was a sponsor that told me to do that. And I had a sponsor that had me look at, highlight whether it was a promise, direction, prayer, or warning. But I love this promise that I see. And the desire to be useful and, of course, live a God-conscious life has been transforming. I do love the words here, of necessity. I circled a necessity. Yes, the beautiful, divinely written Bill W.'s words. I try to measure my judgment, and well, that's an unusual sentence. I try to be aware of judgment, and it keeps getting better. I had some judgment with somebody recently and with their program, but I wanted to be helpful. And in speaking with them on the phone at length, I felt judgment get released, and I knew I related to their past, but or their present, because it was my past. In any event, I keep looking to have judgment of myself and compassion for myself. Judgment go away from myself, and compassion, constant working on self-compassion, so it does help me with compassion for everyone else. Compassion spreading. I do love this. Let's see. I love the ideal that he is hoping to express.
That's time, Nancy.
Thank you, Rick, for your service. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nancy R. from New York. Karen K., you are up next, followed by Deb Z. Go ahead, Karen. And just remember to include where you're calling from, guys. Thank you very much.
Good morning, family. It's Karen Kay from Mississippi. Thank you for your service, everyone who's doing service. And I really liked that reading. And what it brought up for me is yesterday I was intolerant and I was judgmental and I was not kind to someone. And, you know, I did a 10th step on it and I still didn't really get it until I did my nightly review. And it just expressed to me how important those things are. 'Cause in my nightly review, I realized I owed an amends. And I made a plan to do that this morning. And I just felt so much better once I acknowledged that and was able to process everything and get to the point of, you know, I'm gonna make a phone call this morning and make it right. And I'm loving this process. I feel like in less than 2 months I have more and better recovery than I've had in the last 14 years. And it's all this program and God and you guys helping me get there. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Karen K. from Mississippi. Deb Z., you are up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, this is Deb Z. from Illinois. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share. I have been listening to Vision for You for a little over a month now, and what an impact it's made on my recovery. I can't even imagine can't even think about how much time I spent wallowing, and now to be able to wake up every morning and listen to all this recovery is just great. But this particular passage out of the big book for me brings up the idea of principles before personalities. And that is actually something that I've been struggling with inside my meetings and out in the world an awful lot. And I'm working with my sponsor on it, and it is getting a little bit easier for me to remember that I am to approach every situation with an idea of what I can do to be helpful and how I can be of benefit to others. And in particular, I had a situation last week, I think it was, where this person that I have a personality conflict with in a meeting and I were sitting next to each other, and you know, it didn't take very long. Something happened during the meeting that kind of was silly or off, like kind of like off to the side, and she and I looked at each other and all of a sudden we just started laughing, and I was like, oh my gosh, what a miracle that I am sitting here goofing and laughing with this person. And you know, when 6 months ago I felt like, ugh, that person is not a person I want to be around. And it just showed me how much that this program is going to do exactly what I mean. It's going to save my life. It's going to, in so many different ways. And I'm just so glad that I found Vision for You, and that I have the opportunity to grow and change and be a better person. I pass.
Thank you, Deb Z from Illinois. Tony B.
Excuse me, what is the reading today? I don't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Sorry.
So we are on page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of necessity, there will have to be discussion, and reading through one paragraph, ending with, and how we may meet their needs. So, Tony B., you are up.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scotland. And it helps me to press star one and share. One of my good UK fellows always says, you know, if you're feeling like you're not sure, just do it. Press star one, share with us. It helps me to feel part of. And I do love being here with all of you. This is a wonderful paragraph, and it makes me think of the writings, the big book. You know, they're publishing this volume, setting forth the problem as they see it, and they're aware of these areas that could be controversial. And they did pass it by, lots of people. I'm reading Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age with one of my sponsees at the moment, and I'm at the part where Harry Thibault is talking about psychiatry and the you know, how that he was asked to speak at the convention, and so are members of the Catholic Church and the medical profession. And and they did run it by a lot of people to see, and got some feedback from, you know, and made some changes. When they were writing it, they were concerned to, you know, not rub anyone's back up the wrong way, I suppose you could say. And they've done their utmost to achieve that ideal. I think, you know, they have done really well. It's such a wonderful book, and no doubt God was in the mix and helping them with it. And I wanted to share too, you know, how when we're working with people, this, and just meeting people in the rooms, meeting people at conferences, working with new sponsees, this real tolerance of other people's shortcomings, viewpoints and opinions, are attitudes which make us more useful to them. So in order to be helpful, I have to set aside my, my judgment of people. Of course, sick compulsive overeaters are going to come with a multitude of shortcomings and issues, the more I can be loving and open, and just passing on information in a kindly way with no judgment, and making suggestions for what's going to be helpful to them. And it says here at the end, you know, this is step 12, very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. So for me, that's my very life, because if I go back into the food, then that could mean my life, you know, in whatever way.
That's time, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Okay, this is the time where we always remind everybody where we're at after the first group of names. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of necessity, there will have to be discussion, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, and how we may meet their needs. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share what was read this morning?
Leah.
In Ohio. Leah. I didn't quite get anything there. Sorry, guys.
Leah S.
Lisa B.
Ken W.H.
Ken.
Lisa B.
So I've got Leah S., Kiana, Ken W.H., Lisa B. Who else?
Natalie S.
Colleen M.
Okay, Natalie S. and Colleen M. All right. Let's go ahead and go with this list. Okay, Joanne, and then we'll see where we're at. All right, Leah S., you are up first, followed by Kiana, and please remember to include your name and first letter of last and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much, Rick. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and so grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And I'd have some news for you. You know, the food used to give me a good feeling. It used to give me a wonderful feeling. And certain foods used to give me such a wonderful feeling that I wanted to be with that feeling all day, so I couldn't stop. And those were my trigger foods. And now I don't have any more of those cravings, so I'm still living life and still dealing with people that I don't like or I can't tolerate or I can't understand. And one thing that I learned was that there is something much higher and much more satisfying within me than the food, than the feeling of that food, the feeling of understanding, the feeling of allowing other people to have their opinion, which does not mean that I do not have my opinion. Just let them voice their opinion, because obviously they need to do that right now or whatever. And I learned this through the books over here in these 12 steps. And they give you so many examples. And, you know, life can be with challenges. And that is why we have steps 10, 11, and 12. To explain what I have gone through and how I did not eat over this, because the food did not call to me at that time. It was much more important to have that good feeling of getting along with whoever you are and whatever you are. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you, AES from New York. Kiana up next, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Kiana.
Hi, my name is Kiana W. in Ohio. And what I was thinking about is that part of this paragraph where it talks about real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints. And that's not just in recovery circles, but in all areas of my life. And just the night before last, I had my first character defect dream in the past. And, you know, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. But in the past, it was not uncommon to occasionally have food dreams. You know, that would just, I would wake up and be reminded, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go back there. But this is the first time ever I had a dream about character defects and specific episodes that happened where I was being intolerant, very judgmental and critical. And both of those things, depictions in my dream, I was just looking at myself like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Oh my goodness, this is not, you know, what I should do. And I credit that to recovery. And so I don't know if anyone else has that experience, but thank you, God, for the gift of recovery and that I now have, you know, character defect dreams that help me remember that this is not who I am. And through God's grace, one day at a time, he is growing me. I am experiencing an entire psychic change. And if he has to occasionally remind me that he's the one doing the work by having a nightmare about me being judgmental and critical in a dream, then so be it. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kiana W. from Ohio. Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Rick. Excuse me. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I'm aware that one of our traditions says that Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and I'm aware that every overeater has an opinion on every outside issue there is. I speak for myself, actually. I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things, and where do they get me? They get me screwed up into a ball, and then I don't know quite what to do except roll some strange direction that maybe I don't want to go. Tolerance, letting go of my need to express my opinions constantly, has taken a long time to let go of. Try to be as open with others as I can, and open and honest with myself and with others. And I trust that they're doing their best to be open and honest with me. That may not always be the case, and that's for me and God to sort out what it is that I want to receive. I want to receive the best from someone else, and I may miss it. I may miss the best if I'm focused on what I disagree with rather than what's there that I can agree with, that I can absorb and use at a time when I really need it. That's why I often suggest to take what you like and store the rest. Don't pitch it. You never know when you're going to need it. I never know when I'm going to need it. And it could be that little nugget that just pops up from somebody I never expected to hear it from. And there it is, and I'm changed, and I'm different, and I can listen and be gracious enough to listen, which is one of the greatest assets, one of the greatest gifts I've received in this program, is to be able to listen. I've not always done that well, but I can continue to grow with that. So thanks for letting me share, and have a great day.
Thanks, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Lisa B., you are up next, followed by Natalie S. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. It's amazing to me. I've been in 12-step recovery for a long time, newer to vision than that, and 5 years. And being in vision has brought my focus so much more to being of service to others and trying to be helpful and how important that is. I, for whatever reason, that was not my focus in other programs as much, to the point where it's become kind of an obsession at times because it feels so good to try to be of service to others, whether they're in program or just out in the world. And when I do that, it gets me out of the core of the disease, which is self-centeredness. Listening to others this morning, it just was a reminder of the obsession in the past with food. And if I'm not diligent about working the program, I'm going back there. It doesn't matter how long I've been here. So I need to continue to be diligent about working the program, not my program, the program. So I will keep coming back. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. Natalie S., you are up next, followed by Colleen M. Go ahead, Natalie.
Thank you. This is Natalie S. in Indiana, and I really want to, in a meaningful way, say that I am recovered, but it's only daily, and it's truly, truly only by God's grace and mercy. And when I was reflecting on the passage, I was remembering that just yesterday, so I've been in the program for 3 years, but God's provided for me to pay for my food that I need through a weekend job at a restaurant supply food place, and I really don't like the way they manage it. I've been in a management position, and everything in me says you should change this, and what God dropped into my heart yesterday, which I'm really grateful for because I couldn't see it, was they speak on walkie-talkies, and everyone, including customers in the store, can hear it. And if you need to leave the register, I'm a cashier, I'm supposed to announce over the speaker that I need to use the restroom and that I have somebody covering. And that's very embarrassing to me. But anyway, the girl that was working with me knew, and when I came back, they'd gotten busy, and the manager came up to me and said, you know, you got to let one of us know before. And immediately I started to defend myself. Without even knowing, my ego kicked in, and I said, well, I let Jennifer know, and blah, blah, blah. And what God showed me this morning is that, you know, and yesterday, why can't I just say, okay, and do it her way? She's in charge. And I'm really grateful for that because now I'm able to see the other places where I do that with family, with other employers. And if my goal is really, as I pray every morning, to be of maximum service to others and God, and to really shine His light and show that He can save even people like me and change me, then I need to be willing to say okay on matters that really are inconsequential to the whole life plan. You know, it's really just relating and being gracious. And And how that relates to this reading is that if the authors of this book had set out to make a profit, or if they had a goal of getting enough people to read it, the whole context of this program, this way of life, this community, which I prefer to call it, lives, would be entirely different for me. Again, these are my opinions. And that would never have gotten me recovered. It would have been like a pain way or whatever other concoction I could develop that I can either start, stop, fail, start, stop, fail.
That's time, Natalie.
Thank you. And I will pass by saying that with this program, with God at the center, I am able to truly lead a different life. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Natalie S. from Indiana. Okay, Colleen M., you are up next, followed by Joanne B. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, Rick. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that's doing service this morning. I'm Colleen M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Maryland. And I wanted to focus on the sentence that said, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions or attitudes, which makes us more useful to others. And, I've found that doing this work and this program has helped me become the person I always wanted to be but wasn't able to be. And earlier in this page, it talked about the elimination of our eating problem was just the beginning and that we're going to have to demonstrate these principles in all our affairs. And, this is happening for me as I continue to keep the food down and do this work, that I'm able to, I don't care about the outcome so much anymore that, I'm doing God's work and I trust that he's the power and I'm not the power. That's huge for me because I spent most of my adult life trying to fix, manage, and control other people and convince them that I knew what was right for them and their life. And today I know nothing about what is right for anyone. You're allowed to have your viewpoints, and I'm allowed to have mine. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's so freeing that today I'm not running the universe, and it's not my business. I don't have to disagree. I love what it was said earlier, that I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to debate. I'm just here to share what has worked for me and what I have done, and that's basically put the food down and work on getting a relationship with a power greater than myself, which I call God. And I do these steps on a daily basis. And the rest comes. It's a miracle. I don't understand it. I just know it's happened for me. And if it's happened for me, it can happen for anyone else. So I'm so grateful. And I hopefully my family is grateful that God is changing me and how I show up in the world.
That's time with calling.
More love, thanks. With more love, tolerance, and patience, not only for myself, which is where it has to begin, but then it spreads off to others. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Colleen from Maryland. Joanne B., you are up next, and then we'll get a couple more names. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Joanne B. I am gratefully recovered in New York. And I just wanted to say that this paragraph reminds me that I'm not in charge. I don't get a say anymore in what other people think, what their attitudes are. That's none of my business. I've learned through this process that I can't even control my own life. And so why would I need to have opinions? Because that's essentially what it is when I have an opinion about what somebody else thinks, an attitude, of I know better than you. Well, I don't know better than anyone. And my eating proved that I cannot control my own eating. No other human power could. But when I turned my life over and humbly said, okay, I will follow this food plan that has none of my sexy foods on it. I'm going to just give it all to God. God relieved me of the merciless obsession as I moved forward and decided to humbly walk with him. And this paragraph is basically assuming a posture of humility, which means like I come off my high horse. I say, I don't know about what anybody else thinks. I don't have all the answers. I proved that to myself by the way that I ate. And now following my creator and moving forward and thinking of others and what he would have me be on a daily basis, the merciless obsession is taken away. And that has been a true miracle for me. I know I didn't do that. And if I keep placing myself in a position of humility, my creator, what would you have me be today? I know he wants me to be helpful to others. And yes, it makes me feel good, but I'm giving back to the world something that's good and whole and helpful, rather than taking and taking and taking and judging. And and I find that this way of life has truly transformed my mind, and I just am so incredibly grateful. And I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne B. from New York. I've got time for two minute shares. Who would like them?
Sarah G.
Is that Sandy?
Sarah G.
Sorry, Sarah G. And there was somebody else there with you. Who was that?
Jen M.
Jen M. Gotcha. Okay, Sarah G. and Jen M. Sarah G., you are up.
Jen M.
Followed by Jen. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for all your service, everybody. I just wanted to say, this is Sarah G. from New Jersey, that this really speaks to me a lot. This past weekend, I had to be in charge of a very large event and get everyone to work together as a team. And I felt we were, you know, we had lots of challenges, and I was able to help people work together as a team. And then just as the event was starting, I felt that something should go a certain way, where someone in the kitchen, the chef, wanted it to be a different way, just to make it simpler. And I knew that I had the manpower to do it my way. So I said, you know what, I'll take it out and I'll do it my way. And then like an entire tray just fell all over the floor. And I paused and I was like, yeah, God does not want me to do it my way. Even though maybe it was, in my opinion, the right way, it didn't matter. It doesn't have to be, in my opinion, the right way. And I was very humbled at that point in front of a lot of people. And I knew that the next day I needed to apologize. First thank the chef for all what he did, and then apologize for trying to be in charge. And it was really scary for me, but he just had a little smirk on his face, like, I get it, you know? And I was so grateful for that, I could now, instead of just gritting my teeth and stamping my feet and being the right one, I was able to, you know, recognize where I was wrong, and thankful that I got embarrassed, and then able to apologize, which made not just the chef feel better, but a lot of people. When I told somebody else that I had to apologize, another woman started to cry, and she said, I think that's so beautiful.
That's fine, Sarah.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. All right. Be well.
Jim, you're up.
Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jen M. from New Hampshire, recovering in program. And this is so, you know, I love being on a meeting or listening to a reading and being like, yep, that's just what I needed to hear today. And it definitely resonates with me. I am, you know, I don't share too deeply personal, but I'm a mom of two teenagers, definitely not for the faint of heart. I have an almost 16-year-old and a 19-year-old. And my 19-year-old is a scholar. He wants to intern for the FBI next summer. It's a year process of applying, and he's doing cybersecurity and all this good stuff. And I'm a divorced mom. I have a husband, and you know, we're pretty much on amicable terms. Not that big of a deal. You know, my kids have really been adjusting pretty well. And in this application for my son, it does a background check on your family and friends. And my ex-husband, about 10 years ago, committed a crime, a white-collar crime, so he's a convicted felon, went through all of it, and it was a two-year ordeal. And it's public knowledge. Like, you could Google it, and it's right there. And he's never told my children. I've said it now twice, that I really think he should say something in case something comes up. Because for an internship, he's still going to get a background check to work for the FBI in New York, where we're closer to the Boston area.
Jen, just a quick reminder, we are sharing what was read in the text. If we could keep that to that, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Thank you. And just, you know, seeing the aversion to that, what I needed to do this weekend is do my writing and come to God and just say, just because I would handle X this way doesn't mean anybody else is going to. And that's where I realized I had to do more writing, get my feelings out, and then just put my hands up. And I know the things that I let go of and I truly surrender to God usually have scar marks on it. I'm usually scratching, wrestling with that alligator. So I'm just grateful I woke up today, didn't really think about it. And I know it's because of really getting on my knees, doing the writing, and really coming to terms that what is my business? This really has nothing to do with me. It's not my business.
That's fine, Jeff.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Sarah G. from New Jersey and Jen M. from New Hampshire. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, February 16th, 2026, is 23,213. That's 23,213. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Good morning. Penny E. from South Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until